Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You find the podcast 365 days a year on YouTube or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. It was great, and I mean great, to have a full slate of college football again on Saturday. We have some more college football today. We have a great Premier League game as well, for those who care. Also, this is the last Sunday. We made it, basically, right? This is the last Sunday without football for the foreseeable future. And I heard, as I was watching college football today, the little Fox theme song play for the NFL, and I'm like, oh, it's like we're this close. We are this freaking close. And of course, the stakes could not be higher. The Packers just traded for Micah Parsons. Breaking news there. So like this is just everything is amped. The volume is turned up as high as it can possibly go. There's so much expectation and excitement now. And you start right away with Lions and Commanders. It's almost here and it feels very, very epic at the moment. Today, we're going to be going over the winners and losers of the Micah Parsons trade. There's also some that I think that fall in some very intriguing and interesting categories. So we'll talk through that as well. Before we get there, shout out to brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member, Randy Cohen. Appreciate you signing up, Randy. If you have not signed up yet, we've had just hundreds of people over the last few days that have signed up. Also, it's a great time right now. Andrew Mertag and Kyle Fellows just did a members only video. Grant Bilson and I did a video that was set to come out on Friday of is the roster better last year or this year? And it doesn't really make sense now because it was recorded prior to the Micah Parsons trade, but there's still a ton of really great stuff in there. Rather than posting it as the normal video, I did upload that as a members only. Aaron Nagler and I are going to be doing members only vids all season long, as well as the weekly members only Q&A as well. So keep an eye out for all of that stuff, but now is a great time to become a member. Also, Fantasy Football Pick'em. If you are a member, you get to be entered into the league. The league is out there over on the YouTube channel. If you go to the post, I'll post it again this week, but make sure to get out there. It is for members only. And if you win, there is a pretty epic prize as well. We did have some pretty big news on Saturday when it came to the Green Bay Packers. No transactions, no injuries, no practice, no anything like that, but some number changes. Two relatively nondescript ones. Emmanuel Wilson goes from 31 to 23. Israel Abanaconda goes to number 28. But one pretty significant one, Matthew Golden, goes from number 22 to number 0. Significant in so many different ways. A lot of people did not like the number 22, and number 0 looks pretty slick on Matthew Golden, if I do say so myself. And then, you know, the other piece of this too is that nobody has ever worn number 0 for Green Bay. It feels very fitting that these two really epic moves for Green Bay, at least that feel epic, right? Because we're just so accustomed to Green Bay not making these moves, not getting a wide receiver in the first round or trading somebody for, you know, multiple picks for a player like Micah Parsons. And number 1 has not been given out since Curley Lambeau. I know somebody pointed out there was like a practice squad preseason, you know, training camp player at one point. We're not counting that, not on the week 1 roster. So nobody since, you know, Curley Lambeau, and now Micah Parsons gets that number. And the story has been that they have been unwilling to give out number 0, including, I believe, to Josh Jacobs. I can't, you know, confirm that in any way, but there has been kind of that buzz out there. It seemed like with Micah, maybe was given the choice and he wrote out there 0 or 1. My guess is maybe Matthew Golden picked up the phone and is like, oh, interesting. You guys are willing to give out number 0, huh? I'll take it. And I don't know if you're the Packers, are you like, oh, that was just for Micah? What are you supposed to say? Anyway, Matthew Golden ends up with number 0. I'm going to preface this next conversation by saying numbers do not matter at all. Okay. I don't really believe it. Be whatever number you want. In fact, number 22, which I really didn't like at all, really grew on me with Matthew Golden through the course of time. So again, make it your own number. I don't really care. But there is sort of this aesthetic that goes along with these numbers. My individual opinion, I don't love 28 for Abanaconda, but it feels like it's a fine number. It doesn't really matter, but it's fine. Emmanuel Wilson just felt like number 31. That's probably just because that's all we've seen him in is number 31, but it's just a big power runner. The 31, I don't know how to define it, but 31 feels like a powerful running number, but he's got speed too. It really felt like the right number for Emmanuel Wilson. 23 is fine. It has that Jair Alexander connotation to it because of the last time you wore it. I do feel like kind of 23 is a little bit better of a corner number than a running back number. It's fine. It's not atrocious. It's not terrible. I just really liked number 31 for Emmanuel Wilson. So I'm going to say downgrade there, but yeah, to each their own, I guess. Matthew Golden, here's the interesting one. I think this is a pretty significant upgrade in general going from 22 to zero. I think zero is going to look so fast and so slick, and it just, the aura is going to be there for Matthew Golden. Two things. As I mentioned, number one, 22 did really grow on me. There was the family story that he had. There was the, 22 players picked before him. It kind of felt like his own thing. I know Rashim Shaheed in New Orleans as well, but it felt like he could have really made that number as a wide receiver totally his. That said, zero is pretty great, and I'm totally fine with that. I do feel for anyone that bought a number 22 Matthew Golden jersey, public service announcement, never get your rookie jerseys or even like free agent jerseys until the start of the regular season, because these things do happen. And it's a bummer when it does. I feel for any of you who have that number 22 Matthew Golden jersey. Now, if you have some sort of collector's item, now that might actually age better because it's a little bit more rare. But yeah, number zero. And I think it's really, they're like a month out from being able to have a lot of those number zero jerseys in stock as well. I think they sold out right away, but it's a cool number nonetheless. And I think Golden number zero, I'm all for it. Just wish they could have done that originally rather than having people go out and buy that number 22 Matthew Golden jersey. One other note, this was from the other day, but just in the entire scheme of things, we kind of got lost in translation a little bit. The Packers did sign Micah Robinson back to the practice squad. So the other Micah is back in the practice squad. Great to see him back. Seventh round pick. They kept him on the 53 initially. They since released him and then now signed him back to the practice squad. So great to see him get back there. That also means that the Packers practice squad is officially, for now, finalized. These things can change over at any given moment, but for now, they do have their 17-man practice squad set. That finalized practice squad does include quarterback Clayton Thune, running back Israel Abanaconda, wide receivers Mecole Hardman, Will Shepard, and Isaiah Nair, tight end Josh Wiley, offensive linemen Brant Banks and Dalton Cooper, defensive ends Aaron Mosby and Deslon Alexander, defensive tackle James Esther, linebackers Christian Welch and Jamin Johnson, corner Micah Robinson, and safeties Jonathan Baldwin and Jalen Simpson, as well as international pathway program kicker Mark McNamee. So they really filled out everything. Besides punter and long snapper, they do have at least one player at every single position. And I think it's a good mix of players like Christian Welch, Aaron Mosby, Mecole Hardman, who might be able to come in right away and help on special teams in any given game. If you want to call up Welch as a special teamer, go for it. Same thing with Mosby and Hardman as a punt returner. I also think you have players with some pretty fun developmental traits and upside. Guys like Clayton Thune, Isaiah Nair is a really good example of it. Josh Wiley, Jamin Johnson, Jonathan Baldwin, Micah Robinson. I think it's a pretty good mix, and I think they did a good job of putting that practice squad together. That does it for our news and notes portion. Let's get to our main event, which is the true winners and losers and a couple other categories we'll get into as well of this Micah Parsons trade. As we talked about yesterday, there is so much that goes into this, and it takes a perfect storm to get this done. But when all is said and done, when the dust settles, there are some very clear winners, there are some very clear losers, and there's some that are TBD. And we'll go through all of them. Let's start with the fun stuff. Let's start with the winners of the Micah Parsons trade. I have to start, number one, with Micah Parsons. Now, there's probably a piece of the situation where Micah would have loved to have stayed in Dallas and signed that extension there and not had to go through this entire process. I think that mostly goes without saying. As I talked about yesterday, Micah could have forced his hand to not be in Green Bay if he didn't want to be in Green Bay. As we talked about it, all he had to do is say, I'm not doing a contract extension with the Green Bay Packers. And Green Bay says, well, we're out. We're not going to do it just to have him on the fifth year option. And then, you know, he's going to want to be upset because he's not getting paid more than that. And then a franchise tag that Green Bay would want nothing to do with that whatsoever. So he has to agree to the contract with Green Bay and the extension and be willing to do it with Green Bay in order for this thing to work. So he at least was willing to come to Green Bay. And it seems like he is happy to be in Green Bay. But the bigger thing here is twofold. Number one, and let's just be completely blatantly real about this entire thing. Micah Parsons got paid, right? Whatever that team paying the money is, there was probably a little bit of like, all right, Green Bay wants to give the, you know, $42 million per year. All right, we'll go to $42 million per year with Green Bay. Like that's fine. They're paying all the money. I'll go there. I'll go wherever it needs to be for $42 million per year. There's maybe a piece of that, right? And that's his biggest win, is getting that massive, massive contract. But the second piece of it is he leaves that drama in Dallas completely behind. Gets a new fresh start in Green Bay. And maybe most importantly for Micah, okay, second most importantly behind the money, he goes from a team in Dallas that is just sort of in a bizarro no man's land. Is there anybody, and I mean anybody even with Micah, that was really expecting Dallas to be a Super Bowl contender? Not, you know, it's not completely out of the realm of possibility. There have maybe been some teams that have won Super Bowls in the past that are a little bit less likely than maybe what Dallas would be this year. But I don't think anybody really truly views Dallas as a top-tier Super Bowl contender. He comes to Green Bay, and he comes to a team that does legitimately seem like a Super Bowl contender, in part because he's on it, but he goes to a better core of a team in Green Bay and is now set to compete at a very high level. I think this is definitely a win for Micah almost all the way around. Leaves the drama behind, gets a fresh new start, team that's ready to compete, and a massive contract. So congratulations, Micah. You are a huge winner in this deal. And of course, what's better than coming to Green Bay, Wisconsin and playing for the Green Bay Packers? Of course, he's the winner in this situation. Number two is Rashawn Gary. It has to be Rashawn Gary. From somebody who received multiple double teams and chips per game this past year, Matt LaFleur said it best. Teams are going to have to choose. Who do you want to focus on, Rashawn Gary or Micah Parsons? Spoiler, we know the answer to that question. They're going to focus on Micah Parsons. He is going to be public enemy number one for opposing offenses, and most teams are going to do everything in their power to make sure that Micah Parsons is the one that is not beating them. And that means Rashawn Gary and his ability to get one-on-one matchups goes up exponentially. And for him, that could be the difference between sort of the 40-plus pressure season we saw a year ago and the 80-plus pressures that we saw in 2021. And if Rashawn Gary gets back to going from 40-plus pressures to 80-plus pressures, that is an unbelievable game changer for this defense in and of itself. And what a huge opportunity that is for Rashawn Gary, as he, you know, eventually down the road will look for that next contract and will, you know, is trying to continue to prove that he's one of the best edge rushers in the NFL. This is his time. Rashawn is never going to be in a better situation than what he is right now. He can be the Sean Jones to Micah Parsons, Reggie White. To be clear, I'm not saying Micah's Reggie exactly or anything like that. I'm not saying Rashawn can't even be better than Sean Jones. I'm just saying you get my point. The Batman to the Robin, however you want to call it. But that Sean Jones, Reggie White one was a great example of it. And to me, if Gary can fill that role, that's a very significant role to play. And I think he can be a big time player without the focus of opposing offenses. And it is time, quite frankly, for Rashawn Gary to be that. And if he can't do it with Mike on the other side, it probably is just never going to happen. But he has an unbelievable opportunity because of Micah now being on the other side. Number three is Jeff Hafley. I mean, my goodness, this was already a coordinator who everyone in Green Bay is pretty much thinking the world of up until this point, who came in and legitimately got this team to be a top 10 defense, who was creative and unique in his play calls, who got this team playing the right way. The run defense was insanely improved, and he already started to get head coaching interviews this past offseason. Now he gets Micah Parsons at his disposal, and he should have a real chance to put together a top five defense this year, maybe top three, maybe even better than that. And if he does that, he will be in line for a potential head coaching job. So not only just does Micah make his job a whole heck of a lot easier and probably a whole heck of a lot more fun, but it increases his odds of putting together a really great defensive season. And that in turn increases his odds of getting a head coaching job, should that be what he ultimately wants to pursue. So a huge winner there is Jeff Hafley. The same goes for DeMarcus Covington. DeMarcus Covington was about to have not a heavy lift, but it's certainly a focus on him with what he could do with that defensive line. There's been a lot of praise going his way, but there's also been a lot of talk of how that front four needs to be way better, needs to get to the quarterback more consistently. And they made no real upgrades prior to Micah Parsons. In fact, TJ Slayton's gone, and you just brought in rookies, Colin Oliver, Baron Sorrell, Warren Brinson, Nasir Stackhouse, some fun pieces, but not anything that's you're expecting to come in and just tear it up from day one. So, and Slayton, again, is a pretty decent sized loss. Not that he had Slayton before, but you get my point. And he was expected to go out and really turn this defensive line around. There's some pressure that comes along with that. But now you get Micah Parsons to come in and play with that line, and it just makes everybody's job on that defensive line easier. And now DeMarcus Covington and that whole defensive front are set up for incredible success. Losing Kenny's not nothing, all right? That's not nothing either. And he is going to have his hands full on the defensive front from a run-stuffing standpoint. But still, I don't think anyone is going to turn that down in DeMarcus Covington's position, and that should make his job just a little bit easier. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, preseason football is already done. College football is already here. And the football season is right around the corner. And you are not going to want to miss any action this year on Prize Picks. Now, I could not be more excited about this upcoming football season. And not only should it be epic for Green Bay, but I'm looking forward to an even more epic season on Prize Picks. Now, as a fan of Green Bay, I get to cheer on my team every week. But there's a bunch of players I don't get to cheer on being a fan of just Green Bay. But with Prize Picks, I get to cheer on some of my other favorite players, players like Brian Thomas Jr., Ashton Jeanty, Devontae Adams. And because of that, it brings a whole different level of fun to the football season. Now, you may be new to Prize Picks, so let me break it down for you super easy. Prize Picks is incredibly simple to use. You just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. That's why Prize Picks already has millions of users, because it's the best place to win cash while watching sports, and there's never been a better time to sign up than today. So download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget to use that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game. Hey friends, not to get too sentimental on you here, but Labor Day is always an extra special weekend for me, as it gives me a chance to hang out and relax with my family right before the madness of football season. The weekend with the kids, throwing the football in the backyard, grilling up dinner, it means even more to me now that my kids are getting older. That's why this year I didn't mess around and I ordered some steaks directly from Omaha Steaks. They're amazingly tender, juicy steaks for this upcoming weekend that I'm legitimately thinking about already. Now, I've had Omaha Steaks on numerous occasions, and there's nothing better to throw on the grill than their USDA certified tender steaks that are melt in your mouth delicious. And the best part is they are currently having their Labor Day sale, so you can get 50% off site wide on omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an extra $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. Trust me, take them up on this offer, use the code PACKADAY, and get some of their grass-fed, grain-finished beef, and just wait until you see the marbling on these things. It is unbelievable. So get fired up for fall and get fired up for grilling with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Labor Day sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code PACKADAY at checkout. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. See site for details. What are you waiting for? Number five probably goes without saying to some real extent, but the Packers corners, their job is now easier. They do not have to cover as long in some key situations. It's not like it's going to be perfect every single time. There will be plays where they have to go out there and cover for a longer period of time. And, you know, Micah's not going to be in there every single play. Like, it's not like job's done for the corners, but man, in some key situations when Mike is just getting there in a hurry, you might not even be fully out of your break yet of trying to go and cover your guy. And Micah Parsons might have the quarterback on the dirt. And that's a game changer if you're a corner. And not only that too, but he's going to force some erroneous throws. He's going to hit the quarterback as maybe he's getting rid of the ball. And that could certainly turn into some interceptions as well for those corners. So they are a huge benefactor here. Number six is the agent, the super agent, David Mulugeta. Not only is he getting a portion of that huge contract, but this was a well-done situation for Mulugeta, who had to navigate a bizarro Jerry Jones. And Jerry Jones came out looking as way worse in the situation. And Mulugeta came out looking way better for navigating it with class and professionalism. And then again, getting the biggest deal in defensive player history for Micah Parsons, that is a feather in his cap as well. So all the way around, David Mulugeta becomes, I think, even a much bigger agent on a grand stage in the NFL. And if I were a player right now, and I see what's happening and how he just got that contract and all the other great clients he has throughout the league, I'm probably looking at David Mulugeta as well. This is going to sound like I have like a connection with David Mulugeta and that like he's leaking me sources or something. I have no connection with David Mulugeta. I'm just saying like this, he looks very good coming out of this. I don't think there's any question about that. Number seven is Edrian Cooper. We talked about some of the double A-gap blitz stuff. I just think you're going to have a potential bash brother mentality at times with some of the twists and stunts and double A-gap stuff that you're going to be able to pull off with those two. And it just kind of goes to the Rashawn Gary conversation of before, when Edrian Cooper might be in that look, you're paying all attention to Edrian Cooper. And now it's Cooper and maybe Micah Parsons in that role. And now you're paying all attention to Micah Parsons. And that's just going to open things up, for Edrian Cooper. So I think he gets a big advantage here from having in those big time pass rush situations and where he's blitzing again, all of the, just energy and eyes go to Micah Parsons rather than having it be on Edrian Cooper. Number eight is Xavier McKinney. Similar to the cornerback conversation, they stopped throwing at Xavier for a huge chunk of last year. I talked about it a little bit yesterday, but when quarterbacks go back to pass, and Micah is blitzing at warp speed or rushing at warp speed off the edge, the quarterback may not have time to go through all of their operating procedures and check the safety over the middle or to see, like double check to see where Xavier McKinney is on the field. It might be panic fest sometimes of like, he's coming and I've got a receiver breaking open the corners, underneath it, throws that pick. And then right after throwing it, as he's getting hit, looks to the side and sees Xavier McKinney breaking over on it, and all of a sudden it's interception Xavier McKinney. You're going through everything as a quarterback just a little bit quicker, with a little bit more haste, with a little bit more urgency. And when you do that, mistakes are more apt to be made. And there is nobody that is a better eraser, I shouldn't say eraser of mistakes, but a player who takes advantage of mistakes like, Xavier McKinney. So I think he is going to be a big benefactor here as well. Number nine, the Commanders, the Eagles, and the Giants. Two times a year for each of those teams against Micah Parsons. Now, the Commanders and the Eagles and Giants will still see him once this year, but it is much better than the other way around, where you have to see him two times a year, every single year, over and over and over again. So the NFC East, especially those offensive tackles in the NFC East, huge winners in this one. And then the last winner, number 10, is the Packers fans. All right, I have kind of a saucy take here. Some of you are going to hate this. Others of you might at least consider it. Some of you might like it. Most of you are probably going to hate it. The NFL has become a true 365-day-a-year phenomenon. The caveat to what I'm about to say, or the grounds we need to set up, are the games and winning championships is still by far and away the most important aspect of everything that goes on in the NFL. Everything all year round is just set up to try to win football games and to try to win championships. That's still the goal. That's still the gold standard. That's all that's the focus, right? We hang banners in Lambeau for championships. That's the focus of everything. Okay. We've already established that. All right. Nothing's going to change that. What I will say is you have a season, September, October, November, December, January. Maybe you get a game in February if you're lucky or just really good. You have 5 months of the year that is actual games. You have 7 months of the year that is off season, and the off season includes maybe upgrading one of your coordinators or changing coaches, participating in the NFL draft, getting more free agents on your team, maybe trading for a player like Micah Parsons. We give crap, and I do as well, to Bears fans for hanging their banner every year of best off season. We won the off season again. We're, 30th consecutive year running winning the off season. As a fan, true story, winning the off season or having moments in the off season is really freaking fun. And it does feel not necessarily even accomplished or anything like that, but there is a real tangible, like, you guys just felt it to an extreme level. Winning Micah Parsons feels like a win. It feels like winning a game. It feels epic. I mean, if I told you, right, what feels better, beating the Browns in week 3 or trading for Micah Parsons? I think it's trading for Micah Parsons. Doesn't it have to be? You getting a player for multiple years? Like, that is a massive win. And it feels that way. It feels like winning something in the moment. You felt like you won the lottery. I freaking have goosebumps when I'm reading the tweet that you got Micah Parsons. I don't know that if they beat the Browns at the end of the game, I'm going to have goosebumps from it. That's a huge moment. When they draft the Matthew Golden moment on the stage, Mark Murphy for the first time, and like all of it. That is I see that clip today and I still get goosebumps in that moment. That the roar from the crowd, the pop from the crowd, the 3 pops from the crowd in those moments. I'm not saying that winning the offseason is better than winning the season or winning the Super Bowl or anything. I'm not saying that. But 7 months, we get the offseason. We're talking about it nonstop. We're focused in on it. Free agents, draft, trades, coaching changes, etc. And if you've had an amazing offseason, that's a pretty sweet vibe. And so this year, it really felt like there was a real tangible win in the offseason. New defensive line coach, Matthew Golden in the first round, couple big free agent signings, picking up Micah Parsons via trade. That was awesome. It was a really fun offseason, and the fans are winners for that. What that becomes down the road and how they play and what consequences or just effects there are from some of the things that they did this offseason, we'll deal with that in the future. But it was a really fun offseason, and there is a real feel like we won. We won something. I don't know what we win, but it does. Well, we won Micah Parsons, and I feel like there is something to that in some real way. You may feel different, but I do feel like the offseason is, and it's why we like get attached to some of these players that we want in the draft, because when they take them, it feels like a win. And when they don't, it feels kind of like a loss. So we have made the NFL and every little minutia that goes into it something that feels significant. And when you feel like you've significantly won free agency or a trade or a draft pick, it feels pretty awesome. It's part of the experience. So I do think that there's something to that. And I'm very happy that this offseason we got to experience a lot of those very fun and very cool moments. All right, with winners, there are unfortunately losers as well, or some of these might actually be fortunately. Number one has to be Jerry Jones. I mean, he came off looking so awful through this entire scenario. He might get proven right. Maybe he does have a better team with Kenny Clark. I don't think it's going to happen that way. Maybe they go take those 2 first-round picks and turn them into something beyond epic. There's doors or that can still be opened from that trade that could result in some great stuff for Dallas. No question about it. He could be proven right in the long run. Right now, it looks terrible. Losing Micah Parsons, your fan base is devastated. I guarantee you that locker room's probably not feeling great. It's just a really difficult situation. Not to mention his not wanting to deal with David Mulugeta and looking horrible for that and just wanting to work with the players directly in these situations. Saying Michael Parsons all throughout the press conference. It's just an ugly look all the way around. And it's funny because Jerry Jones in like the 90s always felt like that, supervillain. He felt like Palpatine in Star Wars, just like controlling everything. It's what it felt like. And then like, once part of like the Parcells era and you know, even McCarthy, it kind of felt like he took a little bit of a step back at times, and like they were consistently drafting like really well and some really smart picks and offensive linemen and not going for the flashy player. Like what they could have had like Manziel. And I was like, wow, the Cowboys didn't, you know, like go and just get the flashy player. Like there were a lot of situations where they just kind of took the meat and potatoes players and really did some good jobs with that stuff. And I kind of felt like he didn't feel like quite the evil emperor quite as much. And then now he just feels like he's more than ever just in that category. So rough off season for Jerry Jones. Dallas Cowboys, we don't need to dive into it too much, but losing Micah Parsons, the team is not going to be as strong without him. And it definitely feels like the Cowboys, and then number three is the Cowboys fans. Just you, and this is not me being a homer, okay? Go look everywhere. Look everywhere you want to look of who won or lost this, except unless it's a Bears, Cowboys, you know, Lions or Vikings like fan page, then you might get a little bit of it. But outside of that, look anywhere. And everyone knows that the Packers won this, the Cowboys lost it. And it's a tough scene for Jones, Cowboys, and Cowboys fans. So those are the top three. Number four is the interior run defense. I'm not going to say run defense in general. That insinuates that Micah might not be good. I don't think that's the case at all. I think he's a good run defender. But I do think your interior run defense takes a hit without Kenny. You might point to Kenny last year and say, like, he wasn't even that great at run defense. I think he was better than you might see some of the PFF grades, and he was still a key piece in there. But you already lost TJ Slayton. Now you lose Kenny Clark, and there's a lot of pressure on that interior defensive line group where, if we're being real, Devontae Wyatt and Carl Brooks and even to some extent Warren Brinson are not these big-time run stuffers. Right. So you're kind of leaning on Colby Wooden, who just is getting in that, you know, new sort of body and figuring things out as more of a run defender. And Nasir Stackhouse, who's an undrafted free agent rookie, to do some heavy lifting there. Whether they can do it remains to be seen. I think there's some hope there, but we're going to have to see it before I think we can honestly believe it. It does feel like it does take some real hit in some real way. Number five is opponents of the Green Bay Packers. There's no two ways around it. If you think that, you know, In week one, Detroit is more excited now because Micah Parsons is a Packer. No, they're not. Same thing with Washington week two. It makes things harder. It makes things harder, especially for opposing offensive coordinators, but teams now have a big time piece to play with. It's not hyperbole to say that Micah should very arguably be the best Green Bay Packer. They didn't have him a few days ago, and now he's probably the best player on the team. And that is going to make things much more difficult, certainly for opposing offenses. Number six, Kingsley Enagbare and Brenton Cox. They have to be considered here in some real way. Enagbare was going to be the third edge rusher and probably play pretty significant snaps. And Brenton Cox was going to be the fourth and probably play a decent amount of snaps. And now Enagbare goes to the four. He'll see far less playing time. And Brenton Cox might just be inactive on game days because, you know, are you going to need a fifth defensive end that doesn't play teams? Probably not. He goes from a real nice rotational piece to I'm not even sure he's active. So that's an interesting one as well. I do think both of those players probably lose some pretty significant playing time. And for Kingsley Enagbare, going into a contract year, probably not ideal for him either. We'll be right back. Number seven, Packers fans during the next two drafts. No first round pick. That's going to be a bummer. There's no two ways around it. That is going to be a bummer when we don't have that ability to see who the Packers took in the first round. It's not to say that they couldn't move up or maybe do some things, but hopefully they're picking at pick 64, and it's really, really hard to get from pick 64 into the first round. So yeah, you can probably kiss those Thursday night draft picks away for the next 2 years. And while right now we don't care, come April and April 2028, April 2027, that's going to feel very, very odd when we don't have a first round pick to celebrate in very likely either of those drafts. Let's see what's next. Number eight is Elgton Jenkins. Elgton Jenkins has that $20 million basically team option coming up next year, and salary cap space just got a whole heck of a lot tighter. They can keep him if they want. They can restructure him. They could extend him. There's a lot of different things that they could do. But, you know, the likelihood that Green Bay is like, you know, we would love you back, but we just don't have the funds to do it. It probably goes up in some real way. So it's not a, you know, death sentence to Elgton Jenkins' career in Green Bay, but I think it definitely makes it a lot more complicated. Number nine is Quay Walker. We're going to talk about the next one. I'll just spoil it. Number 10 is the 2026 free agent class in totality. Watson, Dobbs, Rashid Walker, Sean Ryan, Quay Walker, Kingsley Enagbare, all those guys, the money has shrunk up now in a pretty significant way. But for Quay in particular, there's a lot of buzz earlier, and you know, Goody said it, like, hey, we want this guy back. We're working on a long-term extension. Now, not only did Tyron Hopper already play well, but now that money again gets sucked up even more, and you're going to probably have to look at some ways of like, how can we just be cost-effective in what we're doing? Well, one great way to be cost-effective is to not give Quay Walker a huge contract and instead go with Tyron Hopper as that number two linebacker at, you know, a small fraction of what Quay would make in free agency. So I think Quay's ability to make this team next year definitely took a hit. Now he'll get paid in some other team. It's not like it's catastrophic for him, but if you wanted to stay in Green Bay, it's definitely going to be harder. And same thing again for Rashid Walker and Sean Ryan and that entire 2026 free agent class. Money just gets a whole heck of a lot tighter. There's ways to keep those guys if they want to, at least a couple of them, but it's definitely going to be more difficult and more likely that they just ultimately see free agency, which isn't the worst case in the world sometimes, but if they wanted to stay in Green Bay, could be a lot more difficult. That does it for the losers. So we have 10 winners, 10 losers. I have two in the next category, which is just TBD, the Packers on the field product. I'm pretty sure every single one of us is expecting the product on the field to be better with Micah Parsons. The truth is, we just have to wait and see. We cannot make a determination on it. Vegas seems to feel better about it, and I think the fans are all feeling better about it. But how this ultimately works and fits and, you know, plays out, we have to just take a wait and see approach on it, because some of the times these things work out incredibly well. And, you know, Jalen Ramsey going to the Rams helped them win a Super Bowl. But sometimes it does not work out that way either. So we're all excited now, but it is probably worth giving it time before we jump to any conclusions as to how much this actually has a major impact on the field. And then my other TBD is the defensive tackles. On the plus side, you know, they are going to get more playing time, all of them. On the downside, they lose Kenny Clark, and I think the pressure is going to be amped up for those guys. They're going to have to play the run much better. I think Wyatt's going to have to play more snaps, specifically against the run. It's just a TBD. It could go very well for that group. It could go very poorly for that group, but they're about to get thrown into it as a rotation of five that need to go in there and be really good run defenders and still provide some juice on, from a pass rush standpoint. It's again, it's a TBD. We'll see what happens with those defensive tackles, but some opportunity there to say the least. And then last but not least, is what I would say. It's a little bit of both. Number one, Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur. I think for certainly Goody is getting a lot of praise for going out and making this deal, rightfully so. And I think Matt is beyond excited to have, you know, a big time premium pass rusher on this team. But it's also worth noting that expectations now go up in a pretty significant way. You know, if before you were saying like, all right, you know, they need to make the playoffs in order to, you know, or whatever, maybe they need at least have a winning season in order to kind of keep things going and, you know, maybe not be on the hot seat or whatever. Now it changes, right? Like if you make the playoffs at 9-8 and lose in the first round with going all in for Micah Parsons, it doesn't look as good. Like there should be real expectations of playoff wins for this team, wins plural, not just one. But wins is that's the hope, at least, right? Like that's what you're going for when you make a deal like this. And anything where missing the playoffs or again going 9-8 and losing in the first round, that would feel way worse now because you went out and traded future assets for one of the best defenders in football. So a huge opportunity for both and for both of them to hopefully try to cement their legacy with the Super Bowl win. But if things go the opposite direction, that pressure is going to heat up in a really significant way. Number two is Colin Oliver and Baron Sorrell. I think getting to learn behind Rashawn Gary and now Micah Parsons, that's a great situation to be in, but they are now buried on the depth chart. You know, you've got the top two in Parsons and Gary. You've got LVN as the three, and Enagbare still is going to be a factor. You've got Brenton Cox, Baron Sorrell, Colin Oliver coming off PUP at some point. I think Colin Oliver is going to be able to learn a lot from Micah Parsons, especially, and Sorrell will as well, but it also probably affects any sort of playing time for them in a really significant way. So good to get to learn from it, but bad that you're probably not going to get the snaps like you would have maybe before if Parsons wasn't here. Number three is similar situation, LVN. LVN in the game, when he's in there with Micah, that's a huge, just like we talked about Rashawn Gary earlier, but LVN went from the unquestioned number two to now the unquestioned number three. A little bit less responsibility, a little bit less playing time. But when he is in there and opposite, you know, Micah, that's still going to be an opportunity for him because he's not going to get any of that double teams or anything like that. He's going to get some true one-on-one situations. Number four is Kenny Clark. I think he goes to a good spot. They clearly wanted him. I'm sure he's feeling very wanted in Dallas because he was a piece of that trade, but it's got to be difficult at the same time for the franchise that you gave everything to up until this point to call you up and say you've been traded for Micah Parsons. It's a part of the deal. I'm sure that's a tough gig. I think he personally goes to a worse team. I think he seems to be handling it great. Seems to be happy so far. I hope he is. He deserves it. Hope he goes on as a great year other than week four. But to me, that there's some positives there for Kenny maybe, but I'm sure it's got to be a little bit bittersweet and a little bit of a bummer as well that he just couldn't stay in Green Bay. Then the last one is Rashid Walker. On the one hand, we talked about it earlier that free agent money dries up a little bit. He may have to hit free agency next year. On the other hand, he gets to play with his former college teammate, Micah Parsons. It seems like they are very close, and it sounds like they have a great connection, a great friendship. That's probably something that he's really going to enjoy, having Micah in Green Bay and be able to cultivate that friendship maybe even more. So positive there, but it also kind of dries up some of the opportunity for him to stay in Green Bay from a free agency standpoint. So a little bit of both for Rashid Walker. So in totality, we've got 10 winners. Micah Parsons, Rashawn Gary, Jeff Hafley, DeMarcus Covington, the Packers cornerbacks, David Mulugeta, Edgerrin Cooper, Xavier McKinney, the NFC East, not named Dallas, and Packers fans. The losers, Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboys, Cowboys fans, interior run defense in Green Bay, opponents of the Packers, Enigbare and Brenton Cox, Packers fans during the next two drafts, Elgton Jenkins, Quay Walker, and that 2026 free agent class. TBD, the actual on-the-field product, which we think is going to be better, but we have to see it, and then the defensive tackle group, and then a little bit of both, Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst, Colin Oliver and Baron Sorrell, LVN, Kenny Clark, and Rashid Walker. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I always appreciate it. You guys are the absolute best. I will see you guys back here tomorrow on Labor Day. Looking forward to that. I'll have a fun episode lined up for you. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkel, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lang, Gonzusa, Alexander Newell. Appreciate you guys a ton. See you guys soon. Have a safe and happy holiday weekend. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.